Syntec CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
Al-Akhirah, The Afterlife, Part 2, narrated by Imam Anwar Al-Awlaqi.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa salam.
Back to our journey to Jannah. And we're imagining that we have somebody guiding us through it. And we said that we want you to imagine that that person is yourself. And you're going through this tour of paradise. So you made it through the gates of Jannah. You went through. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, which we talked about earlier, that you will know your place in Jannah more than you knew your house in dunya. So instinctively, you will know where your residence is, and it'll go through the gate, and your heart will guide you through the tracks in Jannah until you reach to your residence. And you're passing by all of these wonderful scenes in Jannah, but your heart is attached to your house. You want to go and see what Allah has reserved for you. So you make it through the winding roads until you get to your property. And you see this huge mansion that belongs to you. Beautifully built. A brick of gold and a brick of silver. Wonderful colors. Huge. Architecture that is something that we don't know of in this world. Because in Jannah, there are no limitations of gravity, and the material of Jannah is not restricted by the mechanics of material that is on earth. So there's no concrete in Jannah. There's no granite, there's no tiles, none of that stuff. Palaces of gold and silver. And you're getting closer and closer to your palace. And then you see something that makes you freeze in your tracks. And you become immobile and you can't move any further because of the stunning beauty of what you have seen. And that is your wife in Jannah. But before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about your palace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لكن الذين اتقوا ربهم لهم غرف من فوقها غرف مبنية تجري من تحتها الأنهار وعد الله لا يخلف الله الميعاد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but it is for those who fear their Lord that lofty mansions, one above another, have been built. So there's a lot of emphasis you're going to see when we're talking about Jannah, about things above each other. So we're not going horizontally. This is going in every direction. As I said, we're not on the surface of the earth, living on a crust, on a planet. You're living in a place, Jannah, the width of it is like the heavens and earth. That's just the width, let alone the length and the depth. So things are above each other and to the side, is going in every direction. And only Allah knows if Jannah is limited to the three known directions. I mean, the three dimensions. There could even be other dimensions that are there. This is just speculation, but Jannah is different. غُرَفٌ مِنْ فَوْقِهَا غُرَفٌ. Mansions above mansions, and they're all lofty and high. Beneath them flowing rivers. So now the rivers are not going side by side, it's going under them. Such is the promise of Allah. Never does Allah fail in His promise. And everything that we have in dunya, there is something that resembles it in akhirah. And the resemblance is in the name. But the quality is different. So just as there is fire in dunya, there's fire in akhirah. But this fire is only 1/70th of the fire of akhirah. And it even looks different because Rasulullah ﷺ says that hellfire was burned for 1,000 years until it became red. And then it was burned for another 1,000 years until the color turned white.
And then it was burned for another 1,000 years until it became dark. So imagine black fire. So there is fire in dunya and there's fire in akhirah, but they're different. Same thing with Jannah. There's water in Jannah, there's milk in Jannah, there's wine in Jannah, there are mansions in Jannah. But the only thing in common they have with these things in dunya is the name. In terms of quality and quantity, it's completely different. So as there are tents in this world, you're going to have tents in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ.
Companions restrained in goodly pavilions. So you have these huge pavilions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that actually that's not a pavilion, that will be a hollow pearl. Khadija alayhi salam, Jibreel has came down to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told him, Khadija is now approaching you. She's bringing some food for you. Tell her that Allah is giving her salam and I am giving her salam. And give her the good news that she will have a palace in Jannah, one pearl that is hollow from the inside. لا صخب فيه ولا نصب. لا صخب فيه ولا نصب. It means there is no noise in there, nor any fatigue. Subhanallah, Jibreel is coming down from the heavens to tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey the salam of Allah and Jibreel to Khadija alayhi salam. Jibreel is coming down and telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that your wife is coming now. She's on her way. Tell her that Allah is giving her salam and I am giving her salam. فَأَقْرِئْهَا السَّلَامِ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنْ جِبْرِيلِ وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ قَصَبٍ لَا صَخَبَ فِيهِ وَلَا نَصَبٍ. In another hadith in a Tirmidhi, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there will be rooms in Jannah where you can, from the outside, you can see the inside. And from the inside, you could see the outside. Now, how does that work out? We don't know. But it's something in Jannah, this, we're talking about this special architecture that cannot be described. If you're outside, you can see the inside. If you're inside, you can see the outside. And one Bedouin, he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who will these palaces belong to? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِمَنْ أَطَابَ الْكَلَامِ وَأَطْعَمَ الطَّعَامِ وَأَدَامَ الصِّيَامِ وَصَلَّى بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسِ نِيَامِ. For the ones, these rooms will belong for the ones who speak good words, and they feed the poor, and they fast, and they pray at night when people are asleep. These special rooms will belong to them. إِنَّ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غُرَفًا تُرَى ظُهُورُهَا مِنْ بُطُونِهَا وَبُطُونُهَا مِنْ ظُهُورِهَا. قام أعرابي فقال لمن هي يا رسول الله قال لمن أطاب الكلام وأطعم الطعام وأدام الصيام وصلى بالليل والناس نيام. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in البخاري, خيمة درة مجوفة طولها في السماء 30 ميلا في كل زاوية منها للمؤمن أهل لا يراهم الآخرون. A pavilion in paradise is like a hollow pearl which is 30 miles in height. And on every corner of the pavilion, the believer will have a family that cannot be seen by others. So these are the palaces of Jannah. How can we increase our property, our real estate in Jannah? Number one, if you build a masjid for the sake of Allah, Allah will build for you a palace in paradise. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you pray 12 rak'ah of sunnah on a daily basis, Allah will give you a palace in paradise. What are these 12 sunnah? 2 before fajr, 4 before dhuhr, 2 after dhuhr, 2 after maghrib, and 2 after isha. So every day, you could be building for yourself a new house in Jannah. While it's going to take you years and years to establish for yourself a small piece of property in this world, in Akhirah, in Jannah, you could get it on a daily basis by just praying 12 rak'ah a day. So let's not let go of this humongous reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding for us. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يجعلنا من أهل الجنة. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be among the people of paradise. So he's walking up and he goes next to his palace and then suddenly he just cannot move. And he sees his wife. Whether it is his wife from Jannah or his wife from dunya, he will just see her face and freeze in his tracks. And he will just sit there contemplating at her beauty. Beauty that is, we are incapable of describing in worldly terms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them,
وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا,
companions of equal age. And Allah says,
إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً فَجَعَلْنَاهُنَّ أَبْكَارًا عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا.
We have created their companions of special creation and made them virgin, pure, and undefiled, beloved by nature, equal in age. Their beauty is so much that it is said by one of the scholars who wrote about Jannah that this man will stand there and stare at her for 40 years, just contemplating at her beauty. And these women of Jannah are not beautiful because they were voted in by a panel of men at a beauty contest. They are beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that they are beautiful. And it's enough for us to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they are beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the translation of the ayah is, in them will be fair companions, good and beautiful. So it's enough when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that she is beautiful, that it will really be beautiful. This beauty of the wives in Jannah, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described in Qur'an, again I'm saying that it is something that we cannot describe in worldly terms because we're talking about a completely different dimension. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, to bring this point a little bit closer to our understanding, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith that is mentioned in a Tirmidhi, actually in Bukhari, لو أن امرأة من أهل الجنة اطلعت إلى أهل الأرض لأضاءت ما بينهما ولملأته ريحا ولنصيفها على رأسها خير من الدنيا وما فيها. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in Bukhari, in this hadith narrated by Anas ibn Malik, if one of the women of Jannah would just appear to the people of this world, the distance between the heavens and earth would be filled with light, and her scent will cover the whole distance, and the scarf that she has on her head is better than the world and everything in it. This sun of ours that lights up this earth is very close to us. But if we go further away in the planetary system, in the solar system, the ray lights of the sun barely reach and penetrate the other parts of the universe. And here we have a woman from the woman of Jannah. She's at a distance that is much further than the sun. Nevertheless, her light will fill the whole distance between the heaven and earth. And her scent will also be smelled by the people of dunya, even though she is in Jannah. And then Rasulullah ﷺ says that the scarf that she has on her head is better than the world and everything in it, this piece of cloth. A piece of cloth is better than the world and everything in it. Once Rasulullah ﷺ received a gift, a piece of cloth, so the Sahaba were quite impressed with it. They were passing it around and they were touching it. Rasulullah ﷺ, he smiled and he said, it seems that you are impressed by the quality of this piece of cloth. The handkerchiefs of Mu'adh ibn Jabal in paradise are better than this. So the quality of everything in Jannah is better than everything we have in dunya. When we enter into Jannah, we'll have a different form of creation. Here we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Hur al-Ain, إِنَّا أَنْشَأْنَاهُنَّ إِنْشَاءً. We have created them with a special creation. So the wives have a special creation, and the same thing with the men, they will have a special creation. It is said that we will have the height of Adam alayhi salam, which we said is about 90 yards. We will have the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. We will have the age of Isa alayhi salam, 33 years old. So we will have a different creation, different khalq in Jannah. And
men in dunya compared to men in akhirah are going to be impotent. The abilities in Jannah are completely different than dunya. And once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about this, so the Sahaba were quite shocked and amazed with the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith in Tirmidhi. So they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, is this possible? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a man in Jannah will have the strength of 100 men of this world. Everything in Jannah is multiplied, whether we are talking about quality or quantity of everything. Everything is better. Some of the other descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given for Al-Hur Al-Ain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ,
like unto rubies and coral. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in another hadith that the women of Jannah will be so beautiful that you would be able to see the marrow bone or the marrow in the bone from behind the clothes. And I keep on thinking about how this is possible and how this could be a sign of beauty. And it's quite difficult to imagine. But keep in mind that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seen this and he's trying to convey it to us. But because our minds are unable to grasp this different dimension of Jannah, it is all an approximation. No matter how hard you try to imagine what is in Jannah, it will only be a fraction of the real thing. So now you spent all of these years staring at your wife, and then you will enter into your mansion, and everything is new to you. Everything is new. Everything is an experience. You take a look at the furniture that you have in that mansion and you just go around looking at the way it looks, the way it is arranged, the quality of it, and you just go from room to room saying Alhamdulillah. And it's an insult to call it furniture because there's no comparison. But you go in and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
فِيهَا سُرُرٌ مَرْفُوعَةٌ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, therein will be thrones of dignity, raised on high.
وَأَكْوَابٌ مَوْضُوعَةٌ.
And goblets placed and ready.
وَنَمَارِقُ مَصْفُوفَةٌ.
And cushions set in rows. So not only is it beautiful, but the way it is arranged, masfufa, the way the furniture is arranged is special. So imagine that there's an angel that is a specialist in arranging the furniture for you in your mansions. It is not you or your wife who went to a shopping center and bought this stuff and then arranged it according to your taste. This was specially prepared for you. So you and your wife will go around looking at all of this stuff and the wife is just amazed by the taste and the art of the angels who have arranged all of this for you, and wondering how did they do it. And comparing this to how she used to arrange your house in dunya and seeing the difference of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given both of you in Jannah. نَمَارِقْ مَصْفُوفَةً. So even the way it is arranged was special. وَزَرَابِيُّ مَبْثُوثَةً. And then you look at all of these carpets spread around. So you'll go and have a seat on some of these cushions and pillows and you're touching all of the fabric and you're impressed with everything.
متكئين على سرر مصفوفة وزوجناهم بحور عين.
They will recline with ease on thrones of dignity, arranged in ranks, and we shall join them to companions with beautiful, big and lustrous eyes. So you'll sit on these cushions and just that experience itself will be pleasurable for you. So you're going to spend a few months sitting on those cushions, just enjoying the comfort of it. And when I say a few months, don't think that this is an exaggeration. You don't have any appointments in Jannah. You're not in a hurry to do anything. There's no time that is rushing you. You have an unlimited amount of time to do whatever you want. In fact, you will walk out of your palace, and we'll talk about when you walk out of your palace, and you might come across a rose that looks very nice to you. So just sit there watching this rose for a year. There's nothing rushing you. You don't have any work to do. You don't have to work for anybody. And then you have all the time in Jannah to do whatever you want. So everything can wait. You can just sit there in front of a rose and just enjoy the beauty of it for a year. You don't have to rush yourself into anything. So just sit on those couches for a few months, enjoying yourself, talking to your wife about the whole experience of going through the grave and Yawm al-Qiyamah, all of those tough moments. And then your wife will tell you, let's go out and take a look at the rest of our property. So you're going to say, no, I enjoy it here very much. This couch is very nice. She's going to say, listen, you kept me at home in dunya. Let's go out now and take a look at what Allah has given us. And now you want to stay at home. You used to go in dunya and work and leave me at home. And now in Jannah you want to keep me here. So she will convince you to go out. So both of you will go out of your palace to take a look at the property that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And if the lowest level in Jannah, Allah will give that person how much? 10 times the earth and everything in it in size. If you are one of the people in the higher levels, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among the highest, then you're going to have property that must be described in light years. Because we said that the difference in levels in Jannah is huge. وَالْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ دَرَجَاتٍ وَأَكْبَرُ تَفْضِيلًا. That the levels in Akhirah are huge. So if the lowest person is 10 times this earth, then the person above him will have more, but the difference will be great between the two levels. So we're talking about humongous real estate that you will have in Jannah. So you will go out with your wife to take a look at what you have. But before that, you want to have something to eat and something to drink. And while you're sitting on these couches, you'll have all of these youth running around in beautiful uniforms, wonderful exotic colors, and they're all smiling, and they're serving you all of this stuff that you have never seen before. And just looking, just staring at these youth when they are serving you, and how bright their faces are, and how smiling, and how welcoming they are, is an enjoyment in itself. Ibn Kathir, he says, يطوف على أهل الجنة للخدمة ولدان من ولدان الجنة مخلدون أي على حالة واحدة مخلدون عليها لا يتغيرون عنها لا تزيد أعمارهم عن تلك السن. Ibn Kathir says the people of Jannah will be served by youth that live for eternity. They never change and they never grow in age. And then he said, وإذا رأيتهم في انتشارهم في قضاء حوائج السادة وكثرتهم وصباحة وجوههم وحسن ألوانهم وثيابهم وحليهم حسبتهم لؤلؤا منثورا. Ibn Kathir says, if you see how many they are and how willing they are to serve you and how bright their faces are and how beautiful these faces are and how they are smiling all the time, and you look at the colors of their clothes and all of the jewelry that they're wearing, they appear to you to be scattered pearls. When you see them, it looks like scattered pearls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَيَطُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا.
And round about them will serve youths made eternal. If you see them, you would think them scattered pearls. So you don't have to do anything. Your wife doesn't have to do anything. Your wife doesn't even have to walk into any kitchens because you won't have any kitchens in your palaces. There's no cleaning that is involved. It is pure enjoyment for both of you. So you're sitting there and you're being served by all of these wonderful servants, and you'll have something to drink and something to eat, and then you'll leave. And you'll take a guide with you, one of your servants, to guide you through your property because it's just huge. And as soon as you walk out of your mansion, this wonderful smell will fill your nostrils. And you're wondering, where is it coming from? So you'll go around trying to locate the source. And then you'll find that it's coming from the soil of Jannah. And you'll pick that soil up, and it is pure white musk. So you might think that maybe the landscaper thinks that we are special people and they brought us all of this special soil around our mansion, but you'll go around and you'll find it the same thing all over Jannah. This was given to everyone. The soil in Jannah is white, pure musk. Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith in al-Bukhari, وَإِذَا تُرَابُهَا الْمِسْكِ. It is like white, shining, pure musk. That is the soil of Jannah. And then you're going to hear the sound of water. So you're going to ask your guide, what is this? He'll tell you that this is a river. Where is the river located? It's right beneath your palace. So you're going to wonder and say, I have a river running in my property. He'll tell you, this river belongs to you. It's all yours. So you'll go to visit it. And you'll take a look at it and you'll ask the guide, what is this? He will tell you, this is a river of water. So you'll go and pick up a cup and go and drink, and it just tastes completely different than the water of this world. So you're going to sit there and just going to take these cups and keep on drinking. Now in Jannah, you're not drinking because you're thirsty. Because if you are one of the people of Jannah, you already had a drink that will satisfy your thirst for eternity. And that is, which drink? Al-Kawthar. On the Day of Judgment, an extension of Al-Kawthar will come to the place where the Day of Judgment has been held. Because Al-Kawthar is a river in paradise that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But some of the water from Al-Kawthar will come to the place where the people are on the Day of Judgment. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be standing next to this pool or lake that is formed from the water of Al-Kawthar. And he will be pouring water for his followers. And he will do it with his own hands. So if you are one of the Muslims and Rasulullah is making shafa'ah for you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will call you, invite you, and he will provide you with water from Al-Kawthar and he will feed it to you. And that cup of water that you will drink from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will quench your thirst for eternity. You'll never feel thirsty. So then why are the people of Jannah drinking? Why are they eating? It is for pure pleasure. They don't need it. They don't need it for the nourishment of their bodies. It is just to enjoy the taste and the flavor of what they're eating and drinking. So you'll keep on drinking from this water and it all dissipates. It doesn't stay in your body. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Jusha ka jusha al-misk." It will come out as a burping, but it is with the smell of musk. So anything that you eat or drink will just dissipate. It will go away. So you're sitting there drinking from this river and the guide is telling you, what are you doing? You're saying, this water tastes beautiful, wonderful. I just want to keep on drinking from it. He'll tell you, well, it's up to you. I'm your guide. I'll do whatever you want. But tell you what, you have another river that is better than this. So it's up to you. If you want to stay here and drink the whole river, you could do it. But if you want me to take you to other parts of your real estate, I'll do that for you. So you'll say, let's go and visit this other river. You'll go together, you and your wife and the guide, and you'll go and you'll travel 1,000 or 2,000 miles to get this to this other place of yours. Obviously, there's special forms of transportation in Jannah. And it's up to you if you want to drive slowly to enjoy the scenes or you want to go fast, whatever you want. It's your choice. So you'll go and you'll visit this other river and he'll tell you, this is the river of milk. So you'll go and drink. It doesn't look like milk, doesn't taste like milk, doesn't smell like milk of this world. Something else. And you'll take a cup and you'll keep on drinking from it and your wife is enjoying the taste of it. And then the guide, before you sit down and just start drinking, he'll tell you, you have a third river that we have to visit, which is better than this. So you go and travel to this other third river and you see it, huge river, floating. And you'll ask, what is this? He'll tell you, this is the river of honey. And you have some of that to drink. And then you move on to the last river in your property. And that is the river of wine. So you'll spend some time over there drinking from the wine, from this river that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for you. And then you'll have a tour around the springs. You visited the rivers, next you will go to the springs. But let's read the verse first. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وُعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسِنٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَّبَنٍ لَّمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ وأنهار من لبن لم يتغير طعمه وأنهار من خمر لذة للشاربين وأنهار من عسل مصفى.
Here is a parable of the garden which the righteous are promised. In it are rivers of water incorruptible, rivers of milk, of which the taste never changes, rivers of wine, a joy to those who drink, and rivers of honey, pure and clear. So the guide tells you, do you want us to go and visit the springs? You'll say yes, and then the guide will tell you, but I have something better for you. How about we go and visit the river that belongs to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And that is the river of Al-Kawthar. So you ask him, is it okay to me to go and visit it? He says, yes. Since you are part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of you will have access to his river. He will allow you to go and drink from it. And this is the best river in paradise, and it originates from under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where it starts. And it goes all the way down, penetrating paradise. So you'll go to Al-Kawthar, beautiful river. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in Muslim, بينما أنا أسير في الجنة إذا أنا بنهر حافتاه قباب الدر فإذا أنا بنهر حافتاه قباب الدر المجوف قلت ما هذا يا جبريل قال هذا الكوثر الذي أعطاك ربك فإذا طينه مسك أذفر شك هدبه. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, while I was walking in paradise on the night of Mi'raj, I saw a river on the two banks of which there were tents made of hollow pearls. I asked Jibreel, what is this? He said, that is the Kawthar which your Lord has given to you. Behold, its scent or its mud was sharp smelling musk. Now when you hear me saying that you have a guide, you might say that I'm making this up. Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he went to Jannah, he had a guide with him. And who was his guide? Jibreel alayhi salam. So it's absolutely fine that you will have a guide with you, an angel from the angels of paradise going with you, showing you around. Remember that everyone is there in Jannah to serve you. Servants at home, servants when you go outside, whatever you want, you will be served. So you have this guide taking you around. So you go to Al-Kawthar, you have a drink from there. Wonderful. The whole tour didn't cost you anything, free. And it wasn't for the summer vacation. This tour took you a few years to complete. And now you're planning on having another tour to visit the springs and fountains of paradise. So you go around to these different springs of paradise, and you already know their names from dunya because you read Quran. You have one called Salsabil, you have this particular spring that produces kafur. So you want to go and see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا عينا يشرب بها عباد الله يفجرونها تفجيرا.
As to the righteous, they shall drink of a cup of wine mixed with kafur, a fountain where the devotees of Allah do drink, making it flow in unstinted abundance. So you'll go and you'll find other believers over there drinking from these fountains. You'll join them, have a chat with them, and drink from the spring, and then you'll move on to others.
إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ تَعْرِفُ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ نَضْرَةَ النَّعِيمِ يُسْقَوْنَ مِنْ رَحِيقٍ مَخْتُومٍ ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون ومزاجه من تسنيم عينا يشرب بها المقربون.
Truly the righteous will be in bliss. On thrones of dignity will they command the sight of all things. You will recognize in their faces the beaming brightness of bliss. They will be given to drink pure wine, sealed. The seal thereof will be of musk. So for this, let the competitors compete. With it will be given a mixture of tasneem, a spring from which those near to Allah will drink. And Allah says in another ayah,
وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا.
And they will be given to drink there of a cup of wine mixed with ginger, a fountain there called Salsabil. So you'll go around these different fountains which are mentioned in Quran, and you'll visit some others. So now all of these tours are taking you years to complete, and you start noticing something. You're noticing that there is no sun or moon, there's no darkness, there's no shadow, there's no summer, there's no winter, there's no fall, there's no spring. So you start wondering, how long is the day in Jannah, and is there any night? And you figure out that it's in Jannah, there's no sleeping, and it's constant daylight, all the time. And the only way you recognize whether it is daytime or night is by a beam that comes from beneath the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, it's all light in Jannah. Al-Qurtubi, he says, لَيْسَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لَيْلٌ وَلَا نَهَارٌ وَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي نُورٍ دَائِمٍ. Al-Qurtubi says, there is no night or day in paradise, but it's continuous light. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he says, وَالْجَنَّةِ لَيْسَ فِيهَا شَمْسٌ وَلَا قَمَرٌ وَلَا لَيْلٌ وَلَا نَهَارٌ وَلَكِنْ تُعْرَفُ الْبُكْرَ وَالْعَشِيَّةِ بِنُورٍ يَظْهَرُ مِنْ قِبَلِ الْعَرْشِ. Ibn Taymiyyah says, there's no sun, there's no moon, there's no night, there's no day. But you know the morning from the afternoon, from night, by this beam of light that is coming from under the throne of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا إِلَّا سَلَامًا وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيًّا.
They will have their sustenance therein, morning and evening. So you're still following your guide, and then you see this huge tree. And you ask him, what is this tree? And he tells you, this tree is the tree that was described by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith in Bukhari. قال إن في الجنة لشجرة يسير الراكب في ظلها مئة سنة وقرأوا إن شئتم وظل ممدود. The Prophet said, there is a tree in paradise which is so big and huge that a rider could travel in its shade for 100 years. And if you wish, you can recite Allah's saying in shade long extended. So you see this huge tree and you can't even see the end of it. There's no end in sight. And it will take you 100 years to cross it if you're traveling on a fast horse. And then you go into these other places and you find these different trees and trees that they don't look the same. They look very different. And you're wondering and you're asking your guide, he will tell you, well, there are some trees where all of the branches are from gold. There are some trees where all of the branches are silver. There are trees that produce clothes. There are trees for fruits. And he takes you around in this tour where you could visit some of the trees of Jannah. For example, he will take you to see Sidrat al-Muntaha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when I was taken to Sidrat al-Muntaha, whose leaves were like elephant ears, and its fruit like big earthenware vessels. So the fruit are large, and the leaves are as big as elephant ears. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking about Jannah, so a man asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, O Messenger of Allah, are the clothes of Jannah created, or are they woven? Do you have somebody who is woving these clothes, or are they created the way they are? So the Sahaba laughed. They thought this was a stupid question. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why are you laughing? From somebody who is asking and want to learn? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, مِمَّا تَضْحَكُونَ مِنْ جَهَلٍ يَسْأَلُ عَالِمًا. Are you laughing because he's ignorant and he's asking somebody who knows? So in other words, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, there is no question that is stupid. There is no question that doesn't make sense. If a person does not know, they can ask. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded back to the man and told him, the clothes of Jannah come out from the trees of Jannah. So you have trees in Jannah. So now you're wearing these clothes with your wife. And you go next to this tree, and you just point to any fruit on this tree, and it will open up, and you have a new set of clothes, and they're waiting for you. So you get for yourself a few pairs, and your wife will stay there and just pick up more, obviously. Will take a lot of clothes. And you move on, and you're carrying all of these clothes with you. Obviously, you're not going to be carrying them. You'll have a shopping cart, and one of the servants is carrying the clothes for you. And you'll go to another tree. And the fruits on this tree look like oranges. And you already had oranges a few days ago. So the servant will tell you, do you want some of these oranges? You will say, no, I already had oranges a few days ago. He'll tell you, no, I'll give you some more because these oranges are different. So you grab one of these huge oranges and you taste it and it tastes different. It's getting better. And every orange that you have tastes better than the orange before it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها.
Every time they are fed with fruits therefrom, they will say, why? This is what we were fed with before. For they are given things in similitude. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they would complain and they say, this is the same food that we had a few days ago, but it is different. So you can see how picky the people of Jannah become. They don't even want to have the same food again. But then they will realize that it only gets better. Every time they try the same food again, it will have a better taste. Rasulullah ﷺ says in At-Tirmidhi, مَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ شَجَرَةٍ إِلَّا وَسَاقُهَا مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. Rasulullah ﷺ says, the trees of paradise, the branches and the trunk of it are made of gold. Now, how can you increase your share in the trees of Jannah? What can you do? Rasulullah ﷺ, he met with Ibrahim ﷺ in Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. And Ibrahim ﷺ is the father of this ummah. He is our father. And he wants the best for our ummah. So even though Ibrahim died thousands of years before Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is so detached from this ummah in terms of the time span, but he was still very eager to help us out. And since now Ibrahim alayhi salam is in Jannah, he has experience, and he's trying to help Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with this. So he told him, Ya Muhammad, أقرئ أمتك مني السلام وأخبرهم أن الجنة طيبة التربة عذبة الماء وأنها قيعان وأن غراسها سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. Ibrahim عليه السلام is now giving advice to his son Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is his son. He is the descendant of Ibrahim عليه السلام. So now you have the father speaking to the son, giving him a fatherly advice. And the reason why Ibrahim alayhi salam cares about us is because we are the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, look at, they had this meeting in Jannah, in Isra wal Mi'raj, and look at what Ibrahim alayhi salam was telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. He told him, oh Muhammad, give your ummah my salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam wants Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam to deliver salam to us. Give your ummah my salam. And tell them that paradise is beautiful. Its water is pure, and its soil is clean. And tell them that it is vast, huge pieces of land, and the trees of Jannah are subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. So if you want a tree to grow for you in Jannah, all what you have to do is say subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. You know those in your car, you have a radio, when you turn the power on, the antenna goes up. As soon as you turn it on, the antenna pops up. Same thing. Say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, a tree will grow for you in Jannah. It's that easy. Just turn the knob on, you'll have a tree. Very simple and easy. Use your time in dunya to grow acres of these trees. Just keep on building houses and planting trees. Work on it from dunya. Prepare yourself for Jannah. You don't want to go there and find that you have an empty piece of land that has nothing but grass. You already have a lot of it here in Scotland. You want to have trees over there. So, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa allahu akbar, a tree will grow for you in Jannah. If you want to have some treasures in paradise, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, kanzul min kunuz al-jannah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah is a treasure of the treasures of paradise. What about the animals and birds of Jannah? Rasulullah ﷺ was asked about Al-Kawthar. So he said, it is a river which Allah has given to me. It is more white than milk and it is sweeter than honey. And there are some birds in it that drink from it. And their necks are like the necks of camels. So Rasulullah ﷺ is saying that these birds are so huge and well fed. No hormones involved. They're purely drinking from Al-Kawthar. That's how they're growing. Because sometimes we associate size with hormones and not being healthy. Everything in Jannah is organic. Don't worry about any pesticides, chemicals, nothing. Rasulullah ﷺ is saying the necks of on these birds is as tall. You've seen the neck of a camel, it's huge. It's the largest neck, it's only second to the neck of a giraffe. So Rasulullah ﷺ is saying their necks are like the necks of camels. Umar ibn al-Khattab was in the audience and he said, subhanallah, those birds are having fun, they're enjoying it. I mean, if the neck of on a bird is like a neck of a camel, that bird must be having a lot of fun. Rasulullah ﷺ said, oh Umar, the ones who eat those birds are going to have more fun. So yes, the birds are enjoying themselves, but the ones who are going to end up eating them are the ones who have a lot of fun in Jannah. Rasulullah ﷺ says, إن تلك الطير لناعمة فقال أكلتها أنعم منها يا عمر. The ones who eat them will enjoy it more. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
ولحم طير مما يشتهون.
And the flesh of birds, any that they may desire. So you see this bird flying in the air, and it really opens up your appetite, and you just make a request, and you point towards it, and there it is, ready on your platter, roasted, and you can have it for your meal. You don't have to wait until the barbecue is ignited, then you don't have to wait for half an hour until it's roasted immediately. It's ready for you to eat. So you're still on this tour with your wife, enjoying all the different dishes that you can have in Jannah. You're going from one restaurant to another, spending your days on end, out of your mansion, and going around, seeing everything that Allah has given you, and you realize that this is endless. You're not going to be able to see all of your property. So you'll go back home to rest and to enjoy yourself and then continue on the journey later on. Because think about it. If the lowest level in Jannah is 10 times this earth, how much time will it take such a person to go and visit what Allah has given them? I mean, if you're living here in Scotland, which is considered considerably a small country, and let's assume that you were born here and lived here for all of your life, I'm pretty sure that you don't even know 25% of Scotland. All what you know is the areas that you visited, maybe Edinburgh, Dundee, Glasgow, Aberdeen, and a few other towns that you visited, and that's it. You've drove on all of the highways, so you've seen the right side and the left side of these highways, but you didn't go deep into the other acres of land that are in Scotland. And if you want to visit every part of this country, it's going to take you years. And we're talking about a very, very small part of this world. And then in this world, 1/5 of the world is water to start with. So for you to travel around and see the property that Allah has given you in Jannah will take you years and years, hundreds of years, centuries to go through it. Imagine it's taking you centuries just to go through the property that Allah has given you. So you'll go back home and you'll have a cup of wine from Jannah.
يطاف عليهم بكأس من معين.
Round will be passed to them a cup from a clear flowing fountain. بيضاء.
بيضاء لذة للشاربين.
Crystal white, of a taste delicious to those who drink it. لا فيها غول ولا هم عنها ينزفون. Free from headiness, nor will they suffer intoxication therefrom. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
يسقون من رحيق مختوم ختامه مسك وفي ذلك فليتنافس المتنافسون.
Ibn Kathir, he says, لا تصدع رؤوسهم ولا تنزف عقولهم بل هي ثابتة مع الشدة المطربة واللذة الحاصلة. Ibn Kathir, he says, it will not cause them headache, nor will it make them lose their minds. Ibn Abbas, he says, there are four negative aspects of alcohol, of wine. Number one, sukr, drunkenness. Number two, suda', headache. Number three, increased urination, al-bawl. And number four, al-qay, nausea and vomiting. These are four negative aspects or side effects of drinking. People get drunk and that's not good. It causes headache and that's not good. It causes increased urination. And finally, it causes vomiting. Ibn Abbas says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purified the wine of Jannah from all of these four things. So it does not cause drunkenness. People in Jannah are not going to be drunk. They're drinking a lot of wine, but it's not going to make them drunk. It's going to make them happy. It's going to give them pleasure. Everything in dunya is a mixture of pleasure and pain. Everything in dunya. There is nothing that is pure. There is nothing that is completely good and there is nothing that is absolutely bad. Otherwise, Allah would have made this dunya as Jannah or Nar. But because everything in this world is contaminated, this world does not qualify as Jannah because it's not good enough. Neither does it qualify as hellfire because it's not bad enough. It's somewhere in between. So the wine that people drink in this world, there's a reason why they drink it, because it gives them some kind of good feeling. But then it comes with all of these side effects. And that's why it was made haram in Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does say that there is some benefit in it, but the negative aspects of it outweigh the benefits. فِيهَا مَنَافِعَ لِلنَّاسِ وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِنْ نَفْعِهِمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the sin coming from it is greater than the benefit of it. But in Jannah it will be purified from all of these side effects and it will be pure pleasure. Now why do the people of Jannah eat? Why would they eat? Al-Qurtubi says, نعيم أهل الجنة وكسوتهم ليس عن دفع ألم اعتراهم فليس أكلهم عن جوع ولا شربهم عن ضمأ ولا تطيبهم عن نتن وإنما هي لذات متوالية ونعم متتابعة. ألا ترى قوله تعالى لآدم
إن لك ألا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى وأنك لا تضمأ فيها ولا تضحى.
Al-Qurtubi says, the people of Jannah, they do not eat to relieve themselves of pain of hunger. And they do not drink to quench thirst. And they do not put perfume or scents on to eliminate bad smell. He said the reason why they eat, drink, and use all of these perfumes and scents is because they want to have pleasures following each other. And they want to have a continuous enjoyment. And then he says, and look at the two verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Adam alayhi salam in Jannah, there is therein enough provision for thee not to go hungry nor to go naked. So we're not putting clothes in Jannah to cover our nakedness. And we're not eating to relieve ourselves from hunger. Nor do you suffer from thirst nor from the sun's heat. So everything that is done in Jannah is for the purpose of pleasure and pleasure alone. And then he says, وَحِكْمَةُ ذَلِكَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَرَّفَهُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ بِنَوْعِ مَا كَانُوا يَتَنَعَمُونَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَزَادَهُمْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُهُ إِلَّا اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And then Al-Qurtubi says, everything that people used to like in this world, they will be given similar to it in Jannah. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hiding for them things that they don't even know about. There was a question about whether if a sister was divorced or widowed, married again. What happens? Who will she be married to in Jannah? First of all, men and women. If a man is married to a woman, they're both going to Jannah. They will be together in Jannah, even if there's a difference in status. If the woman is better than the man, or the man is better than the woman, they will be brought together. How will that affect their statuses? Allahu alam. But we know that they will be brought together. They will not be separated because of the differences in their deeds. And Allahu alam, the lower level will jump up to the higher level. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not bring someone down. Allah, out of His mercy, will only raise the levels of the people. So if the wife was better than the husband will catch up. And vice versa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
جَنَّاتُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يَدْخُلُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ بَابٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, gardens of perpetual bliss, they shall enter there as well as the righteous among their fathers, their spouses, and their offspring. And angels shall enter unto them from every gate. The angels will be going around visiting them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي ظِلَالٍ عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ.
They and their wives will be in groves of cool shade, reclining on thrones of dignity. So they will be brought together with their wives.
أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ أَنْتُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ تُحْبَرُونَ.
Enter the garden, you and your wives, in beauty and rejoicing. So they will all be greeted into Jannah, the men and women. Now, what happens in the situation where a man passes away, and his wife marries after him? Now for the other scenario where the wife passes away and then the man marries, he will be together with his first wife and his second wife. All of them will be together. But in the case of a husband, when the husband dies, he leaves behind a wife, a widow. She goes on and marries somebody else, what will happen? Who will she be married to in Jannah? There is a narration that Muawiyah radiallahu anhu wanted to marry the wife of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. So Ummu Darda refused and she said, I heard my husband Abu Darda say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman will marry her last husband in dunya. The woman would marry in Jannah her last husband in dunya. Now this hadith is da'if, but it is strengthened by two other narrations. The first one is Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. She was married to Az-Zubayr bin Awam, one of the 10 who were granted paradise. She went and complained about her husband to her father. She went to her father and said, my husband is very tough in treating me. He is very strict. He was very strict with her. So she went and complained to her father. Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam was a very strong man. He was a Faris. He was a knight. Such a powerful man. He was one of the strongest of the Sahaba. In one of the battles, he hit the enemy. The enemy was on a horse. He hit him on the head. And his sword went all the way down until it hit the saddle. So he cut the person into two halves. And then he chopped the saddle, so the saddle fell on both sides. So some of the other Muslim soldiers who were there, they said, you have such a sharp and powerful sword. As Zubayr ibn al-Awwam looked at them angry and said, it's not the sword, it's my arm. Don't give credit to the sword. This is my arm. So that was Zubayr ibn al-Awwam radiallahu anhu. In one battle, he was such a fierce and strong fighter. In one battle, he had a one-on-one fight with one of the Al-Fursan, with another knight. And this knight was covered in steel from head to toe, armory, covering his whole body, with the exception of a small hole for his eyes to peek out. Just a small narrow band where he could see. Everything else in his body is covered. So Zubayr ibn al-Awwam, he took a spear. And he grabbed the guy and he hit him with the spear from this small hole for his eyes. But obviously the blade on the spear is large. So he kept on pushing this spear in with his arms, and he pushed it in with his foot until the whole blade went through and it cut through the iron, and the blade itself, a blade of a spear, which is a huge piece of metal, it bended. The blade on the spear bended. So when he pulled it out, the Muslims, they came and saw this blade bended. They couldn't believe their eyes. This spear, Abu Bakr requested that he wanted to have it with him as a souvenir. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu kept it with him until he died. And then Umar bin Khattab requested that he wanted to have it. This is such an artifact that they wanted to have with them, souvenir. So Umar bin Khattab took it. And then when he passed away, Uthman ibn Affan took it. And it remained with him until he passed away. And then Abdullah ibn Zubayr, his son, he got it back. And it remained with him until he died. So Zubayr ibn Awam was this kind of person who was very strong. But he was very strict in his dealing with his wife Asma. So she went to her father and she complained about him. And Abu Bakr as-Siddiq didn't have a problem in her complaint, meaning that her complaint was valid, because he was having her do all of this laborious work, tough work. And then in addition to that, he was very strict with her. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu told her the following. He said, يَا بُنَيَّا صَبْرِي فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَةَ إِذَا كَانَ لَهَا زَوْجٌ صَالِحٌ ثُمَّ مَاتَ عَنْهَا فَلَمْ تَزَوَّجْ بَعْدَهُ جَمَعَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Abu Bakr said, "Oh my daughter, please be patient. Because a woman, if she has a righteous husband, and then he dies, and she does not marry after him, Allah will bring them together in Jannah." Abu Bakr as-Siddiq realized that his daughter maybe is going through some tough times with her husband. But he wanted her to be patient, because Abu Bakr as-Siddiq knew that Zubayr ibn al-Awwam will have one of the highest statuses in paradise. And he wanted his daughter to be up there with him. So he said, be patient with your husband in dunya. It's not all about dunya. And this is also an advice that I would give to the brothers and sisters. In case there is something that you don't like about your wife, or the wife does not like some things about the husband, but they are righteous, be patient. Because it's not about dunya. A woman came to Umar bin Khattab and said, "Oh Khalifa, I don't love my husband." Umar bin Khattab looked back to her and said, "Marriages are not all established on love. It is a cooperation in dunya, and then we're going to pass away. It's not all just romantic love that brings a husband and wife. It is about a house that they're establishing, raising a Muslim family, bringing up children in a righteous environment. That is what a family is about. And there needs to be some compassion and all that, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. Don't be harsh with your spouses, because if you don't like something in them, there's something else that is good that you love in them, and it should compensate. Abu Bakr said, be patient, because the Zubayr ibn al-Awwam is going to be way up there, and I want you to be with him. It's not just that you should walk away, or no, just leave your husband. Come and I'll find a better husband for you. No, be patient, because it's not about dunya. We are not going to get our pleasure and reward in dunya. We're going to get it in akhirah. The final narration is that Hudhayfa, when he was dying, he told his wife, إِن شِئْتِ أَن تَكُونِي زَوْجِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَلَا تَزَوَّجِي بَعْدِي فَإِنَّ الْمَرْأَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ لِآخِرِ أَزْوَاجِهَا فِي الدُّنْيَا. He said, "Oh my beloved wife, if you want to be my wife in akhirah, in Jannah, then do not marry anyone after me, because I heard Rasulullah ﷺ say that you will be with your last husband." This is regarding one issue relating to sisters. Another issue that I want to talk about relating to sisters, and we'll close with this. A question sometimes comes up, and it might even be there already in the pile. The issue of al-hur al-ayn, and the fact that the man will have all of these wives in Jannah. So sometimes our sisters felt left out. I mean, the husband is having all of this fun. He's marrying all of these women. I was able to keep guard on him very well in dunya. I didn't allow him to get married on me. But then here he goes to Jannah and he has all of these women with him. So what's the deal with that? Dear sisters, first of all, let's get it straight that in Jannah you will have no bad feelings. First of all, nobody will have any bad feelings. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have taken out of their hearts any bad feelings. So there's not going to be any jealousy, no pain, no suffering, no despair, nothing of this in Jannah. Number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows His creation. He knows what men want and He knows what women want. And Allah will give everyone what will make them happy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that men want to have a lot of wives. That's a fact. And anybody who's saying otherwise is not really telling their wives the truth. This is the fact of the matter. This is how men are created. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them what they want. Everyone in Jannah will have at least two wives. And women, they have certain desires and needs, and all of these desires and needs will be fulfilled in Jannah and more. So there shouldn't be any bad feelings that how come... Also from a psychological point of view, a woman would never desire to have more than one husband. See, so even the psychological makeup of females is different than males. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best His creation. No one will know what will satisfy you more than Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim says that the scholars of religion are needed in dunya and akhirah. He said, Muslims need scholars in dunya to guide them to the straight path. And they need them in Jannah to know what to ask Allah for. So we don't even know what's good for us. And we might even need to refer to scholars in Jannah, ask them, what should I ask Allah for? But Allah knows what you want. And Allah will give it to you. So don't worry that your husband will have Hur al-Ain or will have... You will be very, very happy in Jannah. صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
Please proceed to the next CD.
Assalamu alaikum. Isim taxis gimtshalile kempela izo
English, man.
Sorry, Pastor.
You know,
Simtek Cities, getting the best quality. Number one, low silver bottom, she's shining too much, kakulu. Just try and you'll buy. Serious, I can't no problem. Mhlambe, if you are getting the complaint, we are not going to bolala, you know. Just come for the another one. I will change it. Sizo change, change.
Hey, give me that, man. What are you talking about, bolala or not? You want to kill the customer?
Hey, boss, I was just joking. And if you phone a lomali back, Sizomnik, no problem.
Hey.
Oh, yeah. We'll give you your money back. Ish. This English. 40. Long time. When your city gonna scratch, just come and tell my boss, ne? Maybe we're going to help you, okay? With low free city. But don't tata my charts. Remember, Simtek Cities, number one.
Ha! Boss. Oh my goodness, I can't believe you.
More low advert, ne?
What?
Right.
Hey, get out from here before I give you one.
Aye.
Simtek CD Productions, bringing the sound of Islam to you. Simtek Islamic CDs. South Africa's leading Islamic media and audio CD manufacturer.